Here's what I'm thinking. And I know, here's the thing. I know the elites, okay? Like the Roves, senators, the Republican elites. I know they don't care if Hillary Clinton is the president. Because again, I've said this, other people have said this. Hell, Ben Carson woke up, he said this. Ultimately, business will be the same, whether it's Hillary Clinton or it's John Kasich or it's Ted Cruz. Business will be the same. Ultimately, and especially, and especially with the establishment in the GOP wanting open borders. I mean, let's face it. They have had more than one opportunity. They've had countless opportunities to push an immigration bill. They have had countless opportunities to put together an immigration bill that is tough on border security. It has E-Verify, so you're tough on the people that employ illegals. You have a deportation mechanism. The establishment could have pushed this legislation through. They could have pushed this legislation through, but they didn't. They didn't. They absolutely didn't. So the Republican Party, or I should say a good portion of the Republican Party, is fine with an open border situation. And that's what we have now. We have an open border situation. I mean, let's face it. Okay, let's face it. No, there's no repercussions for being here illegally. There's absolutely no repercussions for being here illegally. You have city after city. I don't know, hundreds. I don't know what the exact number is, but sanctuary cities are the norm. I mean, we basically have a sanctuary nation. No one gets deported. All right? Nobody gets deported. And when you take that off the table, when you take that off the table, ultimately, what separates Republicans and Democrats? Now, there's other things, but immigration has always been a big issue. But when you take that off the table, where's the separation? Where's the separation? Lower taxes? Well, the tax structure that we have today is basically an extension of the tax structure from George Bush. Obama basically kept the tax code that George Bush put in place. He extended most of the tax cuts. So, Republicans, the establishment They don't care if Hillary Clinton is in office. It's business as usual. They don't care. Hillary Clinton is far more hawkish than Donald Trump. She's far more hawkish, I would even say, than Ted Cruz. Hillary Clinton lines up the most with the establishment as far as the Republican Party is concerned. Hillary Clinton goes way back with people like McCain and Graham. You know, remember, she was the first lady. I mean, again, if you listen to this show, you're not stupid. You're not just some casual putz that's listening to political talk. But she was the first lady, as I reiterate. You know, she's been part of the system for close to 30 years. For heaven's sake. She got presented with awards and so forth and so on by Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush on a stage talked about her being this great person. I mean, the establishment has no problem with Hillary Clinton. They have no problem with Hillary Clinton. They have absolutely no problem. Now, the people that have the problem are the pundits, are the surrogates, talk show hosts. They're the ones that have the problem with Hillary Clinton and, more importantly, with Donald Trump. They're the ones that have a twofold problem. They have a twofold problem. Now, if you listen to this show, I've had other theories as it pertains to people like Limbaugh or Levin that ultimately, deep down inside, they want Hillary Clinton because it's a lot easier to do a show like I do, like they do, when you're on the offense opposed to defending a President Cruz. But nonetheless, when I'm watching Fox or I'm watching CNN or I'm listening to Glenn Beck or I'm listening to Hugh Hewitt or I'm listening to Prager or whoever, and I hear them talk about Never Trump, and I hear them talk with this hate in their voice, even when you have a Hugh Hewitt who says, I'm not endorsing, I'm just making an observation, and that observation is Cruz will be the nominee. Cruz is going to be the nominee. That's what he's going to be the nominee. And goes on to a whole Cruz is the best candidate. Cruz is the person that can beat Hillary if you look at the polls, so forth and so on. And I see people like Rick Hay, I think his name is Rick Hay. He was, I think, the under chair. So he was under Priebus. I might be saying his last name wrong. Rick Hay. But he was on O'Reilly yesterday. Now, O'Reilly is off. What a vacation he's got. He's been off all week. But I like that Eric Bowler. I do. I like that Eric Bowler. He's a good guy. He's got a little pizzazz in him. So he was talking with this Rick Hay and this High, whatever his name is. And this Rick Hay was saying, never Trump. I cannot vote for Trump. I will not vote for Trump. I refuse to vote for Trump. And Bowler kept saying, so you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton? He said, no, I will find a conservative, a constitutional conservative. Hopefully it will be Ted Cruz. But if it's not, I will vote for anybody else that is not Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And Bowler said, but if you vote for anybody else, that's just like voting for Hillary Clinton. And he said, I cannot just bring myself. I cannot go against my principles. I can't. And Bowler said, listen, 4 years ago, I didn't want Mitt Romney. He wasn't my first choice. He wasn't somebody that I wanted to support. But at the end of the day, did up, and I voted for him because I did not want Barack Obama to get a second term. I didn't want him to create the damage that he's already done. And so Rick Hay said, I won't do it. I won't violate my principles. So I sat there and I thought to myself, man, what if this was done in 2012? What if this was done in 2012? What if all the people, and there was a lot of people that didn't like Romney, what if all the people that didn't like Romney. What if all the people that didn't like Romney did everything that they are doing to Trump now? What would have happened? What would have happened? You know, Romney wouldn't have got the 1237. I've said this before. At this point in 2014, Gingrich was still in the race. Santorum was still in the race. And Ron Paul was still in the race. And the talk that you hear now is not the talk that you heard then. The talk that you hear now is not the talk you heard then. And if you heard this talk and people were doing the things they're doing now, then Romney wouldn't have gotten to 1237. Romney wouldn't have gotten to 1237. End of story. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now my question is this. Everybody that bit their tongue, held their nose, and went along with the program in 2014 and got behind Romney because, hey, he's the front runner and he's the Republican. And the same goes for 2008. He is John McCain. He's old. He's not our first choice, but he's a Republican. We got to get behind him. He's the front runner. Let's go. What if all of those people that got in line, what if all those people this year, after what is going on with Trump and all these people like S.C. Cupp and Anna Navarro and Ted Cruz's alleged ex-lover, Amanda Carpenter, and Charles Krautheimer, and the list goes on and on and on. What if this year everybody doesn't hold their nose and vote for who the Republican Party is going to give the nomination to? Because I'll tell you, And I'm not going to be a blind supporter here. I don't think they are going to give that nomination to Trump. I'm telling you right now. I don't think they're going to give that nomination to Trump. Matter of fact, I'm guaranteeing you they're not going to give that nomination to Trump. First off, Trump is going to lose Wisconsin. We know that. If he turns around or turns this around and wins, it will be a Bernie Sanders style upset. Like he did to Michigan or did to Hillary in Michigan. If he pulls it off, it will be an upset like that. Now, with all the bad publicity that has been coming out for Trump this week, and not just the Matthews interview or the Anderson Cooper town hall, but just the the ever-growing media presence of prominent pundits and prominent leaders, rather, their presidential candidates coming out saying, not only I like Cruz or I like Kasich, but I will never vote for Trump. That's why I said this is powerful stuff. This is powerful stuff. It's one thing to say, you know what? I don't like Trump. My first choice is Cruz. But hey, if Cruz doesn't get the nomination, I will, of course, vote for Trump. Of course. For somebody to say, I hate that man so much. I hate him so much. Not only will I never vote for him, but I could possibly vote for Hillary Clinton. You know how powerful that is? You know how powerful it is to see somebody that is on CNN or MSNBC or Fox every day? All right, you're a political watcher. Okay, you're a listener of political radio, and a lot of these people you're very familiar with. They're almost like a family member. Some of them you watch and listen to more than family members, and they come out and say, "I will never ever vote for Trump. Matter of fact, I will vote for Hillary Clinton." That's a powerful statement. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. It's never been done before. And in the last 2 or 3 weeks, that has intensified. And the only reason it's intensified, let me explain something to you. Forget the gaps. That's moot. It's intensified because Rance Priebus, now do I know this for a fact? No, he didn't tell me this. But just connect the dots. Put two and two and two and two and two together and you'll have the same number that I get. Rance Priebus put the word out that there is no way in God's green earth they will give Trump the nomination if he doesn't get the 1237. So Priebus said, if Trump gets the nomination, if he gets the numbers, he gets it, end of story. We can't take it away from him. But if he can't get that number, he will not get the nomination. It will be a contested convention. It will go to a second ballot. Delegates will become unbound, and those delegates will leave. Not all of them, but they will leave. So Priebus put that word out there. Priebus put the word out there. He said, listen, if it gets to a point, and you're seeing that point now, Priebus has said, if it gets to this point, then we put the full court press. But we're not going to put the full court press on if it looks like he can win that number, because then we're really going to be effed. And we can't have an entire party. We can't have an entire party from SE Cup. And I say SE Cup because I'm talking about the pundits that we see every day, the SC Cups and the Anna Navarros and the Stevens and the Krautheimers and the Rick Wilsons, all of these people. We can't have all of these people on all of these shows every single day going off on Trump. We can't have it. We can't have a party like that. We can't have the guy that is going to be the nominee then either run with all these people trashing him or all these people having to either eat their words, walk themselves back, which destroys any credibility they have going forward. And as a Republican Party, we don't want that because we want these people to be the voice for the party so they could put forth the ideas that we want. They can put forth those ideas to the American people in a way that hopefully could connect with them and sway them to our side. And if they're not swayed by, Paul Ryan or someone like him, they're swayed by SC Cup with her cute little glasses and her little smiling face. And that person goes, oh, that position doesn't seem so bad. So it was calculated. And it wasn't until we are where we are. Wasn't until where we are now. I mean, why do you think Trump went and talked to Priebus? He hears what's going on. It's all over the airwaves. Whether you're listening to it on talk radio, whether you're reading it on the internet, whether you're opening up your New York Times or LA Times, it's all over. It's all over. Hell, just look at Kasich. Kasich is mathematically out of the race. John Kasich is mathematically out of the race, but yet he is staying in. Why is he staying in? He's staying in to deny Trump and Cruz. He's staying in to deny Trump and Cruz. And if you're a Cruz supporter, you're saying, well, he's staying in to deny us because we beat Trump on a one-on-one situation. Which then technically helps the establishment because the establishment does not want Cruz. The establishment does not want Cruz. And hell, Karl Rove already floated it out there. Karl Rove already floated it out there that a fresh face could possibly put the enthusiasm back into the party. But it's obvious that Priebus put the word out that Trump is not going to get the nomination at that contested convention. There's not going to be a plurality. Ain't going to happen. So that's why you see the heat turned up to about, 90. The heat's turned up to 90, and the stove will only go to 10. That's how hot. That's how hot it is. And that's where we are. Because Trump's going to lose Wisconsin. Okay, he's going to lose Wisconsin, which means he's going to have to win about 60% of the remaining delegates. And the way the heat is going, the way the heat, the way the fire is engulfing Trump right now, from the left, from the right, every aspect he's probably going to lose a few other places. Now, he'll win New York. That will be huge. He might pull off Pennsylvania. Huge. He should win Jersey. Huge. But remember, after Tuesday, you have 2 weeks. So after Tuesday, and Cruz wins, you're going to hear. You're going to hear this push. You're going to hear the sound for Cruz. You're going to hear the screaming. Cruz is, Trump is down. It's after Tuesday. All right, listen to me. After Tuesday, okay? After Tuesday, let me tell you something. It's going to be as if Trump just took a uppercut in the 11th round. Shit, maybe 12th round. And it will be, he is down. Can he get up? He is down. He is down. And he's going to have to do something. He's going to have to somehow change the narrative. I don't know how he's going to change that narrative. I don't know how he's going to do it. I'll tell you, the fact that Ivanka had the baby makes things a little inconvenient. Ivanka having the baby makes things a little inconvenient. I bet she's kind of down right now. I'm sure she's not up for campaigning. Because that's what is needed right now. There needs to be a softer, gentler Trump. There needs to be, and you're not going to get it per se, but there needs to be the Hillary Clinton crying moment from 08 in the Obama campaign. There needs to be that hand on the chin and the talk about a country doing bad. And she starts to choke up and the tears start to flow. Now, we know Trump's not going to start crying, but there just needs to be, there needs to be that moment. There was a mild moment, but no one in the media covered it. Nobody cared. When the former Miss Wisconsin, the woman who has the cancer, stood up and started to cry and thanked Trump for helping send her son to college, and he sent her a handwritten letter about staying strong and she can beat cancer, and she was crying, and Trump walked over to her and gave her a hug. It was a very touching moment, and it was played, I think, one time. Opposed to Kasich, who hugged a kid in the crowd, and MSNBC played it on a constant loop. Fox played it on a constant loop. CNN played it on a constant loop. ABC, everybody played the Kasich hug on a constant loop. I seen the Trump hug once. You think that's a coincidence? Of course it's not. Of course it's not a coincidence. That was on purpose. They have a good narrative right now with Trump. They have a good he-man, woman-hater club narrative with Trump. They got what they want. They got it. They got it. It took them a while, but they got it. They got it. So Trump needs one of those moments. He needs one of those moments. I don't know how he gets one of those moments. I don't know if it's with Ivanka. I don't know if it's with Melania. I don't know if it's with Barron. I don't know if it's with the daughter that he has with Marla Maples. I don't know who it is with. But there has to be a moment. There has to be a moment. Maybe there's an interview with one of the... It has to be a girl. It works with Barron, but not as much as the girl. But there needs to be a moment with the girl. It needs to be a moment. The young girl, the Marla Maples girl, but I don't know if she's doing the political thing. But it needs to be something with one of the girls where they break down and they start to cry and they talk about how it's tough on them to see their dad being characterized as an evil man and someone who hates women and all of these horrible things. And he's really a loving father, and he is nothing but kind, and then they need to put the tears on and cry. I mean, there needs to be something like that. There needs to be sympathy. Like I said, Trump can't do it. Well, he could, but I don't know if he's capable, and I don't know how that would play. I don't know how it would play if Trump did an interview and all of a sudden you just see him kind of well up a little and he goes, you know, it's tough. I've never done this before. And I'm really trying, you know. And sometimes I'm going to say the wrong thing. And it's not because I think that. It's because sometimes I get caught in the heat of the moment. Sometimes I get flustered because this is all so new. I don't know. Someone needs to write up something good. I don't know how that would play. It might not play good. For the guy that they call Mussolini, the guy they call Hitler, the guy they call the fascist reincarnate. I don't know. Don't know if that would play well, but there needs to be something like that. All right? There needs to be a woman moment. And I know that's tough for a guy, but there needs to be a woman moment. Maybe he could save a woman from a burning car. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I definitely think they have to get Melania. They have to get Ivanka. And they have to get the young daughter. They got to get all three of them. They got to get all three of them together. That's what they got to do. I don't know. I don't know if they could pull it off, but that's what they need. Because Trump's going to lose Wisconsin, the fire's going to be hot. They're going to put the full court press. You have 2 weeks until the New York primaries. I can't see Ted Cruz winning New York. I mean, he's down 30, 40 points now. I don't see him all of a sudden getting 40 points, especially if Trump just throws a couple hundred thousand dollars in ads. That's all it takes, just a couple hundred thousand dollars in ads of Cruz talking about New York values. Just a couple of ads of Trump doing the park, the skate park. You know, balance it out. So you do a couple hundred thousand dollars of ads of Cruz saying, you know, New Yorkers suck and they're all gay and abortionists and all sorts of evil bastards. And then you have the Trump ads that say, you know, I did the skate thing and I, you know, the 9/11 and I do the water and I help here. So if you put that together with what Cruz is already behind on, there's no way. There's no way Cruz wins. And then you have Pennsylvania. So next week's going to be tough. But ultimately, they're going to take this nomination away from Trump. He's not going to get the 1237. The delegates are going to leave. They've already said there's delegates that are lining up to bolt after the first ballot. And it's funny because people say, well, Trump hasn't perfected the art of retail politics. Yeah, he does good with the aspect of politics that is important, which is people voting. But the other part of politics, he's not good at, which is the backroom dealings. I kid you not. That's what they're talking about today. That's what they're talking about today. The process is twofold. So you have the primary, and the people come out and vote. And the whole process isn't completed because those votes equal delegates. But those delegates are not necessarily bound to that candidate, the winner of that primary. And the way the process is set up, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, look no further than the RNC coming out with a website to explain what an open convention is and the process of how a nominee is picked off the voting / delegates / first ballot, second ballot, third ballot. If you don't see this is all strategic and it's all been set up and the marching orders given out by Priebus and the party elders, then you're blind, you're ignorant, you're stupid. And I hate to say that. I don't want to think or I don't want to accuse my audience of being stupid because I think they're some of the smartest in the world. But, I mean, look at the natural progression. Look how things are putting into place. You have a website now. You have a website now. You have a website now. Explaining how they're going to take the nomination away from Trump. And always remember this. Always remember this. What is happening now is what could have happened in 2014. It's what could have happened in 2008, which then flips to, well, Trump isn't good with retail politics. Trump isn't good with being an insider. Trump isn't good with being part of the club. Because I'll repeat, this time, 4 years ago, Gingrich was still in the race, Santorum was still in the race, Ron Paul was still in the race, and nobody was talking about contested convention. Nobody was talking about, I'm staying in all the way to the end. Nobody was saying that. Nobody was saying that. There was not one person saying that. Not one. Retail politicking. That's not democracy. It's not democracy. The most important part of running for president or running to get the nomination to be president or a chance to be president is getting people to vote for you. That is true democracy. But a whole 1, 2, 3, 4 step process is ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And that's what everybody is talking about today. The fact that Ted Cruz has a better delegate ground game, that Ted Cruz has in place people to go on that convention floor to get individuals to leave Trump and go to him. So imagine that. Just imagine that. You have a place like Florida where Trump has 1.1 million votes. 1.1 million people voted for Trump. A couple hundred thousand people voted for Cruz. Trump beat Cruz by 25 points. And we could get to the convention. And when you look at the delegate board, if nobody gets the required 1237, and it becomes a horse trading game, you could then look at the final outcome. And technically, Florida can be in the Cruz win column. That's not democracy, ladies and gentlemen. That's not democracy. That is 110% undemocratic. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? And when you hear pundits, when you hear talk show radio hosts say, well, this is part of the process. You got to be able to play the game. You got to be able to wrestle up these delegates. That not democracy. to say, hey, I won a million votes in Florida. And somebody says, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. What do you mean it doesn't mean anything? Well, those delegates could still leave you. What do you mean the delegates could? Well, they could leave. They're not bound. If you're one delegate away from 1237, if you're at 1236, the rules are the rules. The rules are the rules. And if it goes to the second ballot, every single one of those people in Florida, every one of those delegates can leave you and go to John Kasich. So you mean they could go to somebody that went through the entire process and has 9 million votes less? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he could get the nomination? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he would run for president? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. And you don't see anything wrong with that? Well, hey, the rules are the rules. The rules are the rules. Hmm. And people wonder why voter turnout is the way it is. And people make fun. Think about this. You know when you see the little talk show bits, whether it's Kimmel or when Jon Stewart was on the air, or even O'Reilly, Fox News does it. And they send reporters out to different rallies or different protests or different events. And they interview young people. Say, what's your single biggest concern that is happening in the world? And they're like, I can't buy pants. Or they go to someone, are you voting? And, no, man, I ain't voting. And the premise is to make people or make an entire population look silly. Make them look disengaged. That's the whole premise of those bits. Rather it's O'Reilly, rather it's The Daily Show. And they laugh. Ha, 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 look at these people. Ha, 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 ha. Look, they don't have a clue. Ha, 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 ha. And then you listen to what's going on right now as it pertains to delegates and votes. Imagine you have these people. Just think of this concept. Just hear me out for a minute. You have these people that are disengaged, and we make fun of them for being disengaged. We sit there and go, man, you need to be into this. You need to be concerned what's going on with your country. You need to be concerned with these issues. Okay, so you get them all jazzed up. You get them all revved up. You get them all excited, okay? You get them all jazzed up. You get them all excited about the process. You get them registered. All right, I just registered. Okay, the primary's next. Oh, I'm so excited. I've been following the issue in this past week. I've been following this issue and that issue is very important to me. And I'm really, man, this is exciting. And they go in the booth and they come out and they got their little sticker that says I voted. And they're like, yeah, I just, yes. Whoa. They're engaged. Now they can't be made fun of. And all of a sudden the process plays out. And the person they voted for, they hear, got the most votes. They hear was the most popular. Hear should have won. And they go, well, what do you mean should have? And then they hear, but they didn't have a good ground game. They didn't know how the game was played. They didn't know how to keep delegates from, and all of a sudden that person goes, well, what do you mean delegate? What are you talking about? I went and I voted. That's what I did. And I looked at that chart and it said that the person I voted for won. It showed that they had 1,375,000. How did they lose that up? Well, you see, if they don't get, and then somebody starts explaining to them this process, and then that person goes, so you mean I voted for these 47 people? Well, yeah, so technically your vote only meant that these 47 people would be bound to the person that you voted for. That person won, so those 47 people have to pledge their support to that person. But once this process plays out and they don't get the 1230, okay, then those people can leave. What do you mean leave? Matter of fact, they just left. Whoa, where'd they go? Well, they went to that person. No one likes that person. I've been watching for the last couple weeks and the person you wanted, they weren't good enough. What do you mean they weren't good enough? They had the most votes. No, that's not what I mean. They weren't good enough as far as keeping these people happy, but that's not who they're supposed to keep happy. They're supposed to keep the million people that voted for them happy. You know, sorry, you don't understand. You know what, sir? I regret voting. I'm done. I'm going to be disengaged now, and you can make fun of me again. Thank you. Goodbye. That's a real premise. That is a real premise. We constantly make fun of people who are not engaged in the process. And once we get them, once we get them engaged, we then basically do what we're doing now and turn them off to the entire process. Tracks to the O'Reilly, Eric Bowler, Rick Hay interview. And I say this. Trump, unless he gets to 1237, is not going to get that nomination. Mark my words, they are not going to give him the nomination. So, I don't care if it's Cruz, I don't care if it's Kasich, I don't care if it's a fresh face, as Karl Rove would say. Ever the establishment gives us, I say we create a hashtag that is never for whoever the candidate is. And I say we take the exact same position. We take the exact same position as the establishment, as the Rick Hayes, as the Krautheimers, as the Karl Roves, as the SE Cups, as the Anna Navarros. As the National Review, as Dana Loesch, I say we take the exact same position. The amount of enthusiasm that we all have, the amount of people that are out there, and it's close to 8 million on the Trump side. I say we take that enthusiasm and whoever the establishment gives the nomination to, we create a never that person movement. We create a never that person movement. I say we take the same position that all of these people have taken. We take the exact same position. And I'm going to call upon different hosts, whether it's Michael Savage or a few others that have been pro-Trump. I'm going to call upon them and say, join me in the position of never whoever the GOP picks as their nominee. Because I'm guaranteeing you, it's not going to be Trump. Guaranteeing you. I'm guaranteeing you. He is not going to get the 1237. He's not. I wish he was, but he's not. He's going to come close. And coming close means nothing. They are not going to give it to him. I promise you. I promise everybody that's listening to me. They are not going to give it to Trump. So we have to create a never blank. We have to create that. And we have to do to the establishment what they did to all of us. And I guarantee you that you will watch them cry like little schoolgirls and schoolboys. And they will say, this is ridiculous. Do you understand doing what you're doing? You're going to elect Hillary Clinton? Do you understand? By doing what you're doing, by saying don't vote for this Republican candidate, you're going to guarantee the election to Hillary Clinton? How can you do that as a Republican? And then they have to be reminded, oh, really? Now you are upset. Now you want us. Now you want us to be on your team. Now you want us to be on your team. But yet you did everything in your power to make sure our candidate the nomination. You actually did things that have never been done before. You did things to purposely make sure our candidate didn't get the nomination. You went on talk show after talk show and said that if our candidate was the nominee, that you wouldn't vote for him. And now that he is out, now that he didn't get the nomination, and the person that you wanted got the nomination, you expect us to get on board and get behind? And you're calling us out and saying that if we don't vote for your candidate, we are going to elect Hillary Clinton? Wow. Well, F you. F you. F you, you son of a B. F you. Remember, we're going to hashtag never whoever the establishment gives us. And we take the movement that we have created that has propelled Trump to the point of 7, 8, 9 million votes, and we turn that as a against movement ever the establishment is going to give us, because they are going to give us somebody. Because I guarantee you, they are going to take the nomination away from Trump. I guarantee you.